This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
15 minutes away from kickoff, Falcons and Rams wrapping up week 17 of the NFL season alongside Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. How about a first half in East Lansing where Michigan State leads Cornell 55-53? Fireworks at the Breslin Center. Matt, I did put a small play in on Yale plus 9 in the first half against Alabama, and I'm going to join you pre-flop another half position on Falcons plus 7.5, and hopefully some opportunities in game.
Big night in college hoops. Hopefully we get a shootout and Monday night football as well. I think we got a pretty good matchup tonight.
Well, I'm going to guess that our next guest is not hoping for a shootout. So let's head to our progressive guest line and welcome in our good friend Johnny Avello from DraftKings Sportsbook. Johnny, let's start with the total in this game. You've got big name wide receivers all over the place. Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Puka Nacua. You've got the MVP favorite in Matthew Stafford, a total of 49. I would imagine bettors on a primetime game, holiday season, are looking at the over tonight.
Yes, they are. the total hasn't moved much because the balance on it was okay up until today. But when you take, as you mentioned, all those players, that's some of the over. And then all of that stuff is intertwined with the same game parlay. So a big scoring night tonight would not be good for us. We're looking for a couple of guys to not have big nights.
Johnny, I know as a bookmaker, you're always looking at the liability that carries over from the weekend to Monday night. What was it like, DraftKings, in terms of results, when you talk about Christmas Day all through the weekend here in the NFL?
Well, Christmas Day was amazing. I mean, we got a great Christmas present. There were three games. We had a great handle on all three. We did great on all three, especially the Vikings-Lions game. Probably one of our biggest revenue-producing games of the year. Just amazing how that thing turned out for us. All the money was on the Lions, and I guess we saw the Lions kind of quitting towards the end of the season, and now we've seen that they've really quit. And, the Lions are still a good football team. They just got issues, that's all. They just got a lot of guys hurt, and they had bigger aspirations. And so, therefore, that's not going to happen. And so I think their heart's out of the team. So I think for the Lions, it's about revamping next year and coming with something brand new. I don't think you'll see that same Lions team on the field next year.
Johnny Avello joining us here, courtesy of our progressive guest line, Monday Night Football. Right now, DraftKings, one of the few shops out there that still has 7.5. Right now, you have 7.5 minus 18 with the Falcons. How has this game been bet from a side standpoint? How big of a need are the Atlanta Falcons for you guys tonight?
This game is pretty much one-sided betting. We're talking like 70% one side, 30 the other. So it's been all Rams. And then we have some liability going on the Rams from some of the games yesterday. So we're definitely rooting for the Falcons tonight to at least stay within the number. If they want to win a game straight out, that would be the best case scenario. But don't think that's going to happen tonight. But the Rams have some, Matthew Stafford, I don't know how important that MVP trophy is to him, but I think tonight's the night where it gets decided whether he wins it or loses it. New England had a big day yesterday, and so now we still have Stafford the favorite, but, tonight a couple of touchdowns would sure help his cause.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that next. So Stafford has 40 touchdown passes. How much money do you have in that MVP market at DraftKings? We've watched the numbers bounce around all over the place here, and you're moving the odds constantly, but is that a market you have a lot of money on right now?
It is. The MVP is one of the higher – we put up everything. We've got offensive rookie, defensive rookie, and coach and a comeback player. But this market right here is the one where we handle the most money. I can tell you that Drake May is a big liability for us. He was about 50 to 1 as an opener. There's nobody else in this, Maddie, that has a chance. I mean, it's just a two-guy race right now. Kalib's out and Trevor's out, and certainly Josh Allen's out. So I think it just comes down to this one game tonight, because next week we don't know what that's going to mean for either team here. So I believe tonight Stafford either wins this tonight or he loses it tonight.
Johnny, looking at the props tonight, I mentioned, look, a lot of high-profile guys, Kyren Williams, how often he finds the end zone. But I want to look at Puka Nacua. Matt and I were talking about his numbers. They have been outrageous these past couple of games with Devontae Adams out. You guys have over under 8.5 receptions, minus 150 anytime touchdown, 110.5 receiving yards. But I can't imagine many people are coming in and betting unders on Puka Nacua.
Actually, they're betting over on Puka Nacua, over 100 yards, which you got to lay a little bit more juice, but that's where most of the money has sitting on him. We've got Stafford throwing at least 2 touchdowns. That's taking some play. London, 6 or more receptions tonight. And then you mentioned these touchdown scores. I mean, Puka Nacua, anytime touchdown scores, minus 150. That's been hammered. First touchdown score has been played. Robinson, Kyren Williams, Blake Corum, Kyle Pitts, and London. All those guys are taking action tonight, and some on both anytime and first, some on one or the other. So, like I said, a big scoring game tonight could give us some pretty good liability in this one.
Johnny, I wanted to ask you quickly about Super Bowl futures board. A lot of talk about that as we look forward to the playoffs, and I've had a lot of people ask me, who would you bet to win the AFC? Who would you bet to win the NFC? When you look at it right now, do you feel like it's wide open? Are the Rams the starting point, the team we're watching tonight? Are they the worthy favorites here? Are they the starting point in the Super Bowl futures odds board? And who do you like? Do you think it's wide open?
I really do. You know, this is one of the stranger years for football playoffs, because not every wild card game is a soft game, but at least it's usually some kind of a mismatch here or there. This year, look at the teams in the wild card. It's just insane. And so you got some teams that you would think would be in the wild card that are division winners, and you got some teams that are division winners that are in the wild card. So, Matt, I don't know. I mean, I see this as totally wide open. I mean, their longest shot on the board with us is the Carolina Panthers at 200, and then you have the Bucks at 100, and only one of those two could get there. And then we've got these divisions that are still open. You know, we got the 40, we got the West open. That's a big deal. Who's going to win that? Because they're going to get to number one seed also. Got the Jags in the South. I think they're okay because they have to lose and Texans have to win. And then the Ravens in Pittsburgh and the Bucks and the Carolina Panthers. So it's a great finish on the last week of football which doesn't normally happen. There's a lot up for grabs, and I don't really know where to go with this, Maddie. I mean, we've got it spread out, and we've got some value out there. If you think teams like the Packers or the Chargers or Pittsburgh can win it, but I see it as a wide open race. I really do.
Johnny Avello, DraftKings Sportsbook Director with us. How about Saturday? We've got a doubleheader after Carolina, Tampa Bay with the Bucs 2.5 or 3-point home favorites, mostly 2.5. You've got the big game Saturday night in San Francisco. Seahawks are 1.5-point road favorites, total of 49.5. Johnny, do you think the Seahawks close as a favorites in that game?
I think they do. Okay. The 49ers defense is not, at least the Seahawks have some balance. I mean, they have pretty good offense and some defense. 49ers defense has just not been good. And that's the reason why the Seahawks are the favorite in this game. We've taken Seahawk money so far. Not that we won't be taking 49er money. We will. On the other game, though, it's been mostly Panthers. We opened this game 3.5. We're down to 2.5. Not a lot of whole faith in the Bucs. I hear a lot of people saying, well, the Bucs will win this week. They'll put it together. But they have not put it together for over a month now. So tough team to bet on right now with everything on the line.
Johnny Avello joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. Johnny, we won't get to talk to you before the start of the quarterfinals. We have one game on New Year's Eve, Miami and Ohio State, three games on New Year's Day. We got about a minute left with you. Quickly run us through what you've seen from a betting standpoint for the college football playoff.
For Ohio State, Miami, they're betting Ohio State on the line. Now, remember, there's only maybe 10% of the money in. They're betting Ohio State, laying the points. They have been taking Miami on the money line. It's a big number, so taking a shot there. Game's been bet under 42.5 to 40.5. Oregon up from 1.5 to 2.5, so it's been Oregon right now. Even though we've dropped a point, that total's still getting some action on the over. Indiana up from 6.5 to 7. That total holding pretty steady. I expect there will be some Alabama money line, though, by the time we get to game time. And then the last one is Georgia, Mississippi. We're holding at 6.5, but mostly Georgia money and mostly under money in that game, under 56.5 down to 55.5.
Johnny, always appreciate it. Happy New Year to you, and we will talk to you in 2026.
Happy New Year, guys. Have a great night.
There he is, Johnny Avello, director of DraftKings Sportsbook, Matt Humans.
Yeah, and it looks like DraftKings right now at Rams -7.5, -102. Basically, the rest of the market is at 7.
They are going to be...
You took 7.5.
I did take 7.5. You've got 8 in pocket, so we will be on the side of the books tonight as Johnny Avello cheering for the Atlanta Falcons. Said wouldn't be bad if they could pull the outright upset.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Primetime here on this lovely Monday evening. That's Matt Humans. I'm Tim Murray. Lots of college basketball going on. Some tune-ups, some games you wonder if teams will be focused. And one game that I did take a little nibble on, Alabama and Yale, could very well be a maybe. Alabama probably going to be a higher-seeded team, but Yale... always a team that gives some teams some trouble in the NCAA tournament. Right now, Bama, an 8-point lead, 18-10. Monday Night Football, Matt, the Atlanta Falcons taking on the Los Angeles Rams, the betting favorite to win the MVP. Does he put on a show tonight? Matthew Stafford.
Well, it's interesting. We're watching Stafford tonight with 40 touchdown passes going into this game. And if he has a he doesn't have to have a big game tonight. I'd say a pretty good game, the Rams win. He's going to be a stronger favorite to win MVP. And we're also watching a Rams team that's not going to win the division, but goes into the postseason as the Super Bowl favorite, which is odd.
A lot of things odd about
very
this year.
Rarely does that ever happen, where you have the Super Bowl favorite in the odds in the betting market and is going to be a team that does not win its division. So we are underway now in Atlanta. The kickoff is coughed up by the Falcons, but they recover it. And I'll tell you, Tim, this is going to be a really good night in college hoops, too. So we got a lot to track throughout the next 3 hours.
And we will keep our eyes on the college football playoff, too. Matt and I will break those games down. Matt and I also, just a little programming note, the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, we will do it day earlier since the first playoff game is on New Year's Eve, Wednesday. So we will record tomorrow. Adam Burke, myself, and Brett Ciancia put out an episode today. We're just a couple days away, Matt, of course, from New Year's Eve. And Fremont Street Experience is always on. But this year, New Year's Eve, they've turned it all the way up. Ring in 2026 at the Countdown Under the Canopy, happening December 31st, all night long. They'll have 6 live concerts on 3 stages featuring Robin Thicke, CeeLo Green, and Chingy, plus a massive countdown and light spectacular on the iconic Fremont Street canopy. One ticket, one night, just $60. The party starts at 7 p.m. Grab your tickets now, VegasExperience.com, the Slotzilla box office, or at any gate location on December 31st. Matt, speaking of the Fremont Street experience and the big zip line, did you see who took a ride on the big zip line just a couple days ago?
I'm going to guess it was Matt Rhule, Nebraska football coach.
The head coach of the Corn.
I know those teams are out here for the Las Vegas Bowl, and a lot of attractions like that draw those teams and coaches throughout the week. That was just a guess. I actually didn't
see it. Was it really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good guess. You picked him over Morgan Scalley, the new head coach of Utah.
Well, I figured if Morgan Scalley did it, you would not be asking me that question.
No. By the way,
what other celebrities would be out here who would ride the zip line?
As we get a 3-and-out for the Rams defense. So just like that, I put in a little pregame bet on the Falcons, and I should have been more patient, Matt, because now we're out to 8.5, and we'll see what happens here as the Rams defense holds.
Exactly.
And a really good defense there.
Tim, exactly why I said I made a small bet on the Falcons tonight, because we sit here every night and do these every Monday and Thursday night. Every other night we're in here talking about the live betting aspect of these games. And there's always a race to post, you know, to try to get 7.5 or 8, whatever it may be, on the Falcons. And then 5 minutes into the game, we're sitting here talking, well, now you get the Falcons plus 10, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't feel like taking a big position here on the Falcons tonight. Take a smaller one. And if I like the way the game's going or think that we could get some value in a number, I'll play the Falcons, you know, at plus 8.5, 10, 10.5, something like that tonight. We've got a punt return here for the Rams. It looks like a good one. But we also have a flag on the field, Tim.
We do.
The first of many flags we're going to see tonight.
I believe this nice punt return will be headed back, and the Rams will be starting this possession in the shadow of their own end zone. Total 47.5, spread sitting 8.5. Matt, we continue the bowl season. We have a couple bowl games tomorrow. A bowl game, when it initially came out, I was pretty interested in. Now has taken a bit of a turn with all the opt-outs for USC and TCU. But usually you do get some fireworks down there in San Antonio. 6.5-point spread for USC as they take on TCU. Total of 55.5. We also have a high total in Tennessee, Illinois. So it should actually be a pretty decent bowl day tomorrow. 3 bowl games tomorrow. And then New Year's Eve should be a lot of fun. We have 5 total bowl games, including the first college football playoff quarterfinal on Wednesday night. That is Miami and Ohio State.
Yeah, it's actually going to be a great week of football. And are you going to be here New Year's Day?
Be here, in the studio.
Yeah, we're going to be here Thursday, so that's going to be a great night to be here. We're going to preview that with Brad Powers and Wes Reynolds on the show tonight. And I know Wes is going to be on the way to Pasadena for Alabama-Indiana. I will be on Indiana in that game. I have not bet it yet, but definitely plan on playing the Hoosiers. We'll see what Wes says about rain and the forecast for Pasadena.
Yeah, so far, Matt, for me, from a betting standpoint in the quarterfinals, I laid 6.5 with Georgia. Mm-hmm. That number trending up a little bit. Still can get 6.5s out there when we talk about it tomorrow on the podcast. And Miami has been intriguing if the 10 shows up. Yesterday, I was sitting watching Sunday Night Football, Matt, and here at Circa, 10 showed up for a very short matter of time on Miami. It was 10 minus 110 both ways. Then it was 10 minus 20. That's when I took a little bit of Miami. But I also like the first half under in that game. I think Miami's going to want to try to keep Ohio State's offense off the field. And I think it's a fair question to ask, too, when you look at Ohio State. The two best defenses they've faced this year, Texas and Indiana, both those teams had some success against this Ohio State offense. Now, how healthy are Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith now with the month off? And I have concerns about Miami. How much success will Miami have offensively against this Ohio State defense?
I think it's going to be a lower scoring type of game. I mean, I've said most of the season, and there's some Ohio State fans get irritated with me, but I feel like Ohio State's been overrated in the betting market much of the year. And if you look, you know, it's a lot like we're talking about the Patriots playing a soft schedule. Mm-hmm. How many really good quarterbacks, really good offenses had Ohio State face this season before going up against Indiana in the Big Ten championship game? You could say maybe Washington,
sure,
maybe Illinois, because I don't consider Texas in that first game of the season in that category. Arch no. Manning was terrible, and that was a bad Texas offense at the time. So we're going to see the Buckeyes get tested. We're going to find out what they're really made of. But I feel like they've been inflated in the betting market, and that's why I played Indiana in the Big Ten championship game. That and the fact it was also just a really good situation to bet against Ohio State off that big win against Michigan in that one. But I lean to Miami here. I'm going to take 10 if I can get it. Obviously, I tried to bet 10. Westgate had it up briefly before I could get the bet in. It went to 9.5. And like you said, Circa's been a 10 here a couple times. I think
you'll get it back.
I think the 10's going to pop up somewhere this week, and I am going to play Miami. I think you're going to have a lower scoring game here. I like the dog and the under. And I think the Canes got a real shot to pull the upset, even though you know how much the coach quarterback combination for the Canes annoys me with Cristobal and Beck. I don't really like to bet on those guys, but if I get 10, and what I think is going to be a low scoring game, it's going to be a grinder where I think the Canes got a shot to win. I'm going to take that double-digit dog.
I think if you can get Mark Fletcher going like he did at the end of the Texas A&M game, that's kind of the route to success for Miami. And right now, depending on what number you want to look at,
that Miami defense is legit.
It is absolutely legit. By the way, this was the worry why I was not in love with Yale tonight, Matt. As I look down at my screen here, I believe Alabama, let me just double-check, I believe they are 8 for 15 from 3. When you face Alabama, that's always the worry.
There's a chance they can get hot from three and then go on a huge run. And then maybe that's where you find your value in betting Yale live when they get down big, when Alabama's peaking. And again, what is it right now?
31-18, Bama.
Still hanging in there.
Yeah, this is a pretty good Yale team, but a fun one going on in Tuscaloosa. We'll see how it ultimately plays out. Quick update from Monday Night Football. The Rams, they go 3-and-out, Matt. So they give it back to the Atlanta Falcons. So taking a look at the live number, the under has gone down just a little bit, down to 46.5. That closed at 49. And the spread is 7.5, juice towards the Atlanta Falcons at -125 right now. So a slow start to the game here. A couple of 3-and-outs for each team in this one.
Yeah, Stafford had one completion there. What was it, 9 yards?
To Mumfield.
Yep, came up a little bit short. So, like you said, both offenses misfiring here early. And the live total, I'm going to double-check this. I was trying to get the update here. I'm also trying to check College Hoops live.
Well, while you look that real quick.
I'm going to tell you what the live total is. Down to 46.5 right now.
Well, and a place that you may want to bet that, Matt, would be Boomer Sportsbook. Right now is the best time of year for bettors, and the all-new Boomer Sportsbook is bringing you the action. Football, hockey, basketball. Use the code VSIN250 when you sign up for a Boomer's mobile account, and they'll match your first deposit up to $250 in bonus bets. Plus, -105, all pro football spreads, every regular season game. Learn more at betwithboomer.com. I'm talking college football with Brad Powers next.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Falcons on the move here. Their second drive of the game inside the 40-yard line now of the LA Rams. A big 3rd-and-8 conversion from Cousins to Mooney for about 15 yards. A nice throw from Kirk Cousins. Man, he looks night and day, Matt, from last year when he was dealing with that return from the Achilles. Actually has some zip on his ball there.
Let's talk college football, Tim.
All right. I think Matt wants to talk some college football, so let's do that right now. Courtesy of our progressive guest line, Brad Powers joins us. Always love catching up with our good friend Brad Powers, college football handicapper. You can follow him on Twitter, at BradPowers7. Let's jump right to the first playoff game that we have on the schedule. New Year's Eve down at AT&T Stadium, the Cotton Bowl. Ohio State taking on Miami. And right now, Ohio State around a 9.5-point favorite, total anywhere from 40.5 to 41.5. What do you make of this game, and is there an angle you're looking to attack in this Ohio State-Miami game, Brad?
Yeah, the angle I'm looking to attack is out of the four units, I'm obviously talking offense, defense for both teams, the one that I'm most confident in is the Ohio State defense. And I would argue that the unit that I'm least confident in is the Miami offense. So how do you attack that? Well, let's just go Miami team total. It's all over the board. Obviously, always shop. I think in faraway places, you can get as far as a 19.5 heavily juiced to the under. But you can also get like a 16.5 under. Keep in mind, no team in this season has topped 16 points against Ohio State's defense. They held Indiana even in their loss to 13 points. Last I checked, Indiana's got a better offense than Miami. And yeah, Miami looked impressive against A&M, but still they only managed 10 points. And I just think it's a coaching mismatch, particularly on that side of the ball. With whatever you think of Matt Patricia, he's done an outstanding job this year. And I'm not a big fan of Miami offensive coordinator, and I'm not a big fan of Carson Beck. So Miami team total under is my preferred bet there.
Yeah, I think that bet makes a lot of sense. How do you feel about the game total 41? Do you think there's a chance that Buckeyes could blow them out of here and you don't want to play the total?
Yeah, I think that's the thing preventing me full game. I do like the Buckeyes here. It was kind of a 1+1=3. If I lean a little bit under and I like the Buckeyes, then that's why I gravitated towards the Miami team total. But I mean, 40.5 doesn't give you much wiggle room there, because I do think the Buckeyes will be a little bit, they got to be more aggressive than what we saw against Indiana. I think they speed the tempo up a little bit.
Yeah, that was pretty disappointing offensive performance from Ohio State in the Big Ten title game. Brad, you're in Ohio. Just curious, Michigan hires a new coach, Penn State hires a new coach. When you look at the new coaching hires around college football, how do you rank them? Best, worst, some you like or don't like?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm not overly impressed. You mentioned the Michigan and Penn State ones. I think they're okay. I don't think they're slam dunks. Whittingham, obviously a great coach, but I mean, he's in different recruiting waters now, certainly in a different region that he's never been in. And I'm anxious to see how he fills out his staff to see if he gets more, it keeps a couple of holdovers that have a little bit more familiarity with the region, a la east of the Rockies, because his OC in DC, it looks like, won't. So I'm indifferent on that one. Matt Campbell, I mean, obviously indifferent. I mean, now he's playing with expectations. Keep in mind, Matt Campbell didn't play well with any time he had expectations at Iowa State. He was always great when he was flying below the radar, and now that's not the case. I would say the best hire, dollar for dollar, if you're looking for ROI, I think is going to be James Franklin at Virginia Tech. I think there's great opportunity for upwards mobility in the ACC. And it's, a big time uptick in recruiting. And if they're spending money in the portal, I mean, they got the ability to win 9-10 games a year. And James Franklin's very capable of doing that. I don't know if they'll get over the hump as far as winning a bunch of big games, but last I checked, there's not a lot of top 10 teams in the ACC.
Quick update from Monday Night Football. We'll give you more in depth on it, but a touchdown pass from Kirk Cousins to Bijan Robinson. So Bijan Robinson, your first touchdown, and we are waiting for the extra point. 6:11 to go, first quarter. Falcons strike first. Bijan Robinson, touchdown reception, and the extra point up and good. Brad Powers, college football handicapper, joining us here courtesy of our Progressive guest line. All right, let's get to New Year's Day, the game when the bracket broke. I think most of us were looking at Oregon versus Texas Tech, very intrigued by this. We've seen a little bit of love come into the market on the Ducks, the number at 2.5. Do we get to 3? How do you handicap this one, Brad? And is there an angle you're looking to bet in Oregon, Texas Tech, in the Orange Bowl?
Yeah, my power rating says a little bit of value on Tech. I'm not, that confident in that power rating just because of Tech's lack of strength of schedule. I mean, you can make a case that it's the weakest strength of schedule of not any, let's just not even talk about the remaining 8 teams in the playoff. I think Jeff Sagarin's got it the weakest strength of schedule of any Power 4 conference team. So you step up in class for them. Where I attack this one is the Oregon team total. I lean over in the game. I lean Oregon as far as the side. I think Oregon some of their scoring was suppressed. They played in some awful weather in a couple games, the game against Wisconsin, the game against Iowa. Also, I thought their offensive scoring capabilities were suppressed because they had some cluster injuries at wide receiver. So they'll be the healthiest they've been since the start of the season at that position. And Texas Tech's defense has been great, but again, this is the best offense, in my opinion, they've faced all year. So Oregon team total over.
Yeah, we're seeing Oregon up to a 2.5-point favorite right now, total of 51.5 in that game. How about Indiana in the Rose Bowl against Alabama? And solid 7 across the board, total of 48. I like the Hoosiers in this matchup. What do you think?
I bet the Hoosiers. I'm not running to the window to lay 7. There was some 6.5 available. if it becomes available again, because I do think the public dog and darling is going to be Alabama on this one, just because it's their largest underdog role since, I want to say, the 2008 SEC championship game against Tim Tebow and Urban Meyer, last time they were catching a touchdown in a game. And obviously, you know, they're playing Indiana, not a blue blood. So I think your regular Joe Sixpack is going to want Alabama here. And I don't think it's the right side. I don't think Alabama's played top 10 football, at least consistently, probably since early October when they, mm-hmm. you know, beat Georgia and Vanderbilt in back-to-back weeks. Fortunate again against Oklahoma. I think Indiana's a real deal. I mean, nobody in the country has better quality wins than Indiana, going on their own, beating Oregon in Autzen, and obviously beating the number one team in the country in Ohio State. So I do trust Indiana in this spot.
Brad Powers joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. All right, let's wrap it up with the Sugar Bowl of the quarterfinals. We can get to some bowl games as well. I laid 6.5 with Georgia. I don't love to lay chalk all that often, but I'm very curious to know how Ole Miss, they bounce back after that clearly emotional victory against Tulane. And I don't know if you caught this, but Lane Kiffin was talking about the coaches still on the Ole Miss staff are doing double duty right now. They're doing LSU work and then doing Ole Miss work. I think Kirby Smart's going to be grinding his teeth for this opportunity. What do your numbers have, and is there a bet that you've made in the Sugar Bowl?
I bet Georgia. I laid it with the chalk here. I think this is the game where Ole Miss misses Lane Kiffin. Obviously, Ole Miss played very well in the first go around, but again, they played about as well as you could on the offensive side of the ball through three quarters and still lost the game by 8. Kirby's really good with extra time to prep postseason. I think he's on a 7-1 run, average win by 20 points per game, the loss being to Notre Dame in the last game. So I think he'll want to avenge last season's postseason loss. I just, you know, if you're telling me we're getting the Georgia that played Alabama and the Georgia that played Texas, then I mean, I don't think there's a better bet on the board than Georgia minus the points. Now, you know, the caveat for me is I did also bet him against Georgia Tech. And that offense was putrid in that game. So let's just hope that offense doesn't show up. But as long as it doesn't, I believe in the Georgia defense to slow down, you know, an Ole Miss offense that doesn't have Lane Kiffin calling the plays.
Brad Powers, you can follow him at Brad Powers 7. Brad, final 2 minutes here. Any other bowl games jump out to you as a bet you like at this point, whether it be maybe Michigan, Texas, or Nebraska, Utah?
You know, I think Iowa's very live against Vanderbilt. You know, sure. I think Iowa's a sneaky good team this year. I got them in the top 20 in my power rankings. Keep in mind, they're very close. I mean, one play away from beating Indiana and Oregon. Mm-hmm. So I like Iowa to beat Vanderbilt, who, you know, has been very good against the spread this year, but so is Iowa. So Iowa for me. And then, you know, I know it's 6.5, 7, and I know the line's moved a lot, but I'll still lay it with Navy. I mean, just 19-3 now, straight up and against the spread to service academies and bowl games. So you don't have to worry about the portal. You don't have to worry about motivation. You know what you're getting, and you're getting sound quality football for 60 minutes out of the service academies. Let's lay it with Navy.
Yeah, we saw that in the Fenway Bowl. Oh, maybe UConn, they're going to hang around. And then 41-16 later, oh, no, it's not going to happen. Army takes care of business with that one. So if you got in early, you still could get in late with the service academies. Brad, always appreciate it. Best of luck with the bets, and we'll talk to you, I'm sure, before the semifinals.
Thanks for having me, guys.
There he is, Brad Powers, college football handicapper. A couple of best bets from him. And let's get a quick update, Matt, of Monday Night Football. Matthew Stafford feeling some heat there as the Atlanta Falcons trying to be live dogs, but the MVP leader does a very nice job keeping some his eyes downfield, and now Stafford, they're in territory.
Scrambles, fires a dart for a first down, and the Rams are in Falcons territory here. The live numbers bouncing back and forth between Rams laying 3.5 and 4.5, total of 50.5. And down 7-0, Matthew Stafford trying to put 7 on the board to answer.
First touchdown and only touchdown so far in the game, courtesy of Bijan Robinson. A touchdown pass from Kirk to Bijan. 7-0, under 5 minutes to go, first quarter. More updates on Monday Night Football next.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Third and five upcoming for the Los Angeles Rams are in the red zone. 7-0 Falcons, a touchdown pass from Kirk Cousins to Bijan Robinson to give the Falcons the early lead. A little chalky first touchdown on the night, as this will be short, Matt, about a yard short here. And you would imagine Sean McVay, a pretty aggressive play caller, 4th and 1 at the 11-yard line. You would imagine he's going to keep his offense out on the field, and he is going to do so right now at the 11-yard line. Under a minute and a half to go first quarter.
Might not get it. The live number just dropped to Rams minus 2.5.
Ooh.
Does that indicate the Rams are not going to get the first down here?
I'd say that does, especially inside the 15-yard line. So 4th and 1 here. For
one thing I'll say about McVay, his fourth and short play calling is his weakness. He likes to run the ball up the middle.
Oh, boy. Absolutely stuffed. And
what are you doing?
Right up the middle, and Atlanta just crushes. Absolutely crushes. Was that Kyren Williams or Blake Corum? I don't know who it was.
Doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was Kyren Williams.
Might as well have been Greg Peterson. You have no chance. You take that.
Unnecessary shots fired. GP.
Greg Peterson's he's a runner, Tim. That's why I thought of Greg. He runs all the time.
Oh, so it was a positive.
He's cat quick, and he's a runner, but. Even if you hand the ball off to him, he's not going to be able to avoid that tackle. But Kyren Williams had no chance.
No chance.
So I said this about Sean McVay. If you watch his tendencies, he loves to run the ball up the middle on 4th and short, and he gets stuffed more often than not. Remember the 49ers game early in the season. It's just a brain-dead play call in that situation where you're running into a stuffed box, might be 10 defenders in that box. You're just going to – you're talking about one of the more creative offensive minds in the NFL. And on 4th and short, all he can come up with, well, let's run the ball up the middle. It's mind-boggling to me how coaches who are that smart and that creative offensively can be that bad on 4th and short play calls. And I talked about this last night. We were watching the Bills game, Eagles-Bills game. And I said a lot of times the Bills are better off if they're at the 5, 6, 7-yard line than they are at the 1. Because Sean McDermott, or his offense coordinator, which is not McDermott in that case, it's Joe Brady, they don't know how to call plays from the 1 or 2 yard line. But Sean, a lot of times, you're going to have situations where Josh Allen, Joe Brady are going to be a lot more effective because they're going to open the playbook up a little bit more from the 5, 6, 7 yard when you're further away and the defense is not as compacted. You cannot try to run up the middle all the time into a 10 defender box. And Bills last night were trying to do that from the 1 yard line. Remember, they got stuffed at the goal line. They got stuffed. I think it was that in the third quarter, early in the fourth quarter. Anyway, it felt like they were inside the 10 yard line half the time in the second half last night and still found a way to lose the game, even though the Philadelphia offense had fewer than 20 yards in the second half. But so even the best play callers, too many times, Tim, just run the ball up the middle on 4th and 1, and that's just not going to work. That situation, the Falcons were ready for it, stuffed it, had no shot.
Atlanta Falcons now just 2.5-point dogs. They lead 7-0 on the money line, plus 140. If you think the Rams come back, pretty juicy. You're starting to see them bet at minus 2.5, minus $1.54.
I feel pretty good with the Falcons plus 8. You got 7.5. This is what we want, right? This is the
see if the Falcons offense can get another drive going here as they give it off to Bijan Robinson a couple of yards there.
Can we do this? We have a video from JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, on Money Moves today talking about the two-point conversion by the Bills last night, because I was just talking about the play calling from the Bills on 4th and short, and we talked about the play call and the two-point conversion and the decision by the Bills to go for it last night. They lose the game 13-12. And here's JVT's take on the Bills going for 2 to win it.
It's not, call me crazy, but I didn't mind that the Buffalo, no, call me crazy, the Bills should have gone for 2. You're all idiots. That's what you're supposed to do. I saw tweets of like, they had the momentum. Momentum doesn't exist. You know what does? Scores, points. You got to go and get those to win the freaking games. Who cares that the Bills were part of the teams that got the new playoff rules, or excuse me, the postseason overtime rules instituted? Who cares about that? You got nothing going on. You need to win the game. Your offense Mullins has done bunk all game long. You know what you need? You need 2 yards. And guess what? You could have got them, like you said, if the throw was on
target. That's why I say, like, the play was there. So I like the call. I like going for the win in that
that's
moment.
Right.
So
it's not you don't mind. They should have. This is what you're supposed to do.
The Bills did the right thing.
There we go.
13-12, the final. As you all know by now, Bills fall short. To their point, Josh Allen, the league's MVP a year ago, had the man open. He was there. Mm-hmm. So what do you make of the decision by the Bills to go for two there?
I slightly disagree with JVT on one thing. I know a lot of the numbers guys like to say.
Mustache?
No, mustache is fine. It's not Warren Sharp level yet.
That's true.
It's not Brett McMurphy level yet.
Two elite mustaches.
I know, but he'll get there. Momentum does exist. Momentum exists because defenses get worn down. And a lot of times you get the ball rolling downhill, and that's where you get the momentum factor in football games. And I thought the Bills did have all the momentum there. And it was obvious if you look at the numbers in the second half. Philadelphia had fewer than 20 yards of offense. And the Bills just kept driving deep into Eagles territory. So they did have momentum, and that does exist. But at the same time, I agree with him. I think the Bills probably should have gone for two in that point, and I said it before the play last night. But here's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see Josh Allen on some sort of misdirection, a rollout to his right where you give him the RPO option. You can run it. You can pass it. You got a couple receivers out there. Or Allen's so tough to get down, man. That's one of those quarterbacks. But you know the Bills this season on two-point conversions are like 1-for-7. I think it's the worst in the NFL. With a quarterback like that, how can you be 1-for-7 on two-point conversion? Because you get Allen out in space, he's so tough to corral. You're like a wild horse. And I thought that would have been the better play. That said, Joe Brady dialed up a pretty good play. You had a receiver wide open in the corner of the end zone.
His favorite receiver, too.
Yep, and Josh Allen just kind of pulled the string on it and misfired. It was a poor throw.
And he you could see it. That dude was fired up after missing that throw.
So here's the problem I have with all the armchair and couch analysts after this is that you're sitting on your couch at home drinking a beer, eating a pizza, and you're, you know, bitching about the Bills going for two because they didn't get it. That's results-based analysis. That now that we see it didn't work, how can they go for two? Well, the problem I have with that is if Josh Allen hits the wide-open receiver in the back of the end zone, the Bills win the game 14-13, none of those people are complaining.
Right.
It's just results-based analysis. Because they didn't get it, it was a bad decision. Here's what Mitch Moss and I were talking about before the show today. The Bills have missed 5 extra point kicks as a team this season.
And during that game, they had one blocked.
They've got one of the worst kickers in the league currently. You got to have a better kicker. I've said this for the last couple. You got to have a better kicker on your roster than this. The kick was not automatic. The extra point kick was not going to be automatic because you have such a poor kicker. You just had one blocked. So you have to take that into account too. But the bigger deal is he had the receiver wide open in the back of the end zone and missed him. So I don't have a problem with the decision to go for two. I know a lot of people are going to complain about it. I've heard a lot of complaining about it. But if Josh Allen just hits the open receiver, nobody's complaining about it.
You know what no one's going to be complaining about, Matt?
What's that?
VSiN live all day, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. We will have our full regular programming both days, starting with VSiN by the book. Super Dave is fired up for some New Year's Day work, rolling through a numbers game, prop points, money moves, follow the money. This very program, VSiN Prime Time. We'll be with you on New Year's Day. We'll be watching the end of the Rose Bowl and the start of the Sugar Bowl on New Year's Day. So spend your new year with VSiN, the nonstop home for sports bettors.
I love that graphic, too, with the fireworks and the VSiN logo, New Year's live programming. Tim, you and I will be here on VSiN Prime Time on New Year's Day night, talking about the college football playoffs. By the way, one thing I want to add to the argument about the Bills going for two and it being the right call. Cameron Dicker is one of the best kickers in the NFL. He has been for the past few years. Dicker missed an extra point, and he missed a short field goal attempt Saturday in the game against the Texans. Even when you have one of the best kickers in the league, that kick is not automatic.
No, you're absolutely right. So, quick update, Monday Night Football. The Falcons facing is Kyle Pitts going to get there? It's going to be 3rd and short here at around the 43-yard line. Under 13 minutes to go, Falcons lead 7 to nothing. Hey, folks, just a reminder, football meets flavor with VSiN and our friends at Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. Right now, when you spend $129, how about this? You can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings plus 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Don't wait. Spend $129. You get 2 pounds of wings and save 50% site-wide on steaks and many more, much more at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSIN. First down for the Atlanta Falcons as they continue to move the ball. Matt, as we hit a break, the Atlanta Falcons down to a plus 110 dog. Yeah,
we're very close to having a flip of favorites here with the Falcons driving up 7-0.
It is VSIN Primetime.